Hello, I'm Denise Waterman from TypeScript, and you're listening to Cat Tales.
You're listening to Cat Tales.
Hi, you're listening to Cat Tales, and I'm Cat. Anyone living in 1982 couldn't possibly avoid singing, no dancing, well in my case anyway, to the iconic tune The Lion Sleeps Tonight by pop sensation Tight Fit. A whim away, a whim away. Famed for their skimpy juggle outfits, the single reached number one in the UK charts where it fought off competition for 3 weeks. More chart success followed with Fantasy Island and Secret Heart before Denise Waterman, Steve Grant and Julie Harris went their separate ways. But fast forward to 2010 and the original lineup responded to requests to perform again and have been singing live up and down the UK and in Europe ever since. Fast forward even further to the present day. The band have released a long-awaited third album with a debut single, Fallout, which has already been hailed by their fans as a fantastic nod to yesteryear. This is the one with Tight Fit. So, I'm just going to start off by saying welcome to the show, Tight Fit. How wonderful is this? I've got Steve Grant and I've got Denise Waterman on the phone and we're having a little bit of a gathering.
Hi, Kat. Hi, thanks for having us.
No worries at all. Let's start off with a little bit of a question. I'm going to ask Steve, first of all, just to give me a little bit of an outline of your memories back in the day of the Top of the Pops eras and all the height, the heady height of Tight Fit. What was it all like? Tell us all about it.
So for me, that was probably doing that show was one of the highlights of being part of Tight Fit in the 80s, just because, you know, like all kids in at that era grew up watching the show, you know, and as a kid standing in the corner of the lounge and dancing along to whatever was on the telly. So being on the show was amazing, and turning up there and seeing, you know, all the other acts on the stage was unbelievable. I had a horrible time wearing that damn loincloth on Top of the Pops, I have to say. That wasn't my favourite thing. It was an amazing show to be a part of. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, Steve, it's making me laugh there, think of you in that little loincloth. But Denise, come on, your outfit, look at that. It wasn't much better, really, was it?
But you're talking to somebody that came from the Benny Hill show to join Tight Fit. I was actually more clothes than I used to wear on the Benny Hill show, so I was quite happy. But one thing to note is that the thigh-length boots we wore weren't even bought. The record company was so tight with their money, they made us wear hired boots, which gives them back.
My God, you see, you would never believe that now, would you? I mean, it would just be unheard of in these days, wouldn't it? Did they fit you, though, Denise? This is the question.
Oh, well, luckily they were in our size. But they did have someone make those leotards and loincloths. They weren't, you know, you couldn't just go and buy those costumes. They were actually created for us. They are designer loincloth and leotard, let me tell you.
Yeah, designer loincloth. My Sam 11 loincloth was donated to a car wash not long after that.
Is that where it ended up? Oh, no. What a sad end for it.
What a sad ending. Thank God it's gone.
But, of course, that wonderful era was really an absolute a dream, I think, for anybody who was ever looking at Top of the Pops in the past and hoping that they would have a career in the music industry, wasn't it? So the fact that, you know, The Lion Sleeps Tonight, which is obviously the one that we're talking about here, was at number one for 3 weeks. I mean, that must have been a little bit of a surprise for you. How did that feel, Steve?
You know what, it was really weird because, you know, we'd all come from kind of theatre backgrounds. I'd just done a musical in the West End and like Denise was saying, she was on the TV working with Benny Hill and Julie was dancing, and had also been singing in another group. She was in a group called Lips that had hits in Russia. So, it was really, really strange times. Looking back on it, we just kind of went with the flow. You know, just finally, I can remember we were driving down Carnaby Street the day we found out we were number one, and just all in the car screaming and shouting, you know, just being kind of overwhelmed with it all. It was quite bizarre looking back on it now. I've got happy memories of that time. And being a part of that show, doing Top of Pops, was, you know, one of those things that I think I will look back on in my life and say, wow, I can't believe I was actually there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But of course, it was also the fact that we were being surrounded on the floor in the studio with so many, I'll put in brackets, big stars. I mean, you know, Boomtown Rats, you know, the English football team were there when we were there recording something or another. You know, and we were like pinching ourselves. Are we really on the same, you know, show as these people? You know, something's gone wrong here. It's only us.
Well, this is it. You see, you get that imposter syndrome thing going on, don't you? Like, hold on, it's me. What's everybody looking at me for?
Yeah. I remember going to a chemist shop not long after we were number one. And when people didn't recognise us when it was just, well, certainly not the girls, when it was just us by ourselves. But if the three of us went anywhere, people would then go, excuse me, are you that group? Are you Plan Fit? And you know, we did think that was kind of funny. And especially when we did Radio 1 Roadshow, and people were like screaming at Steve, oh, Steve, we love you, Steve, we love you. And girls, you know, putting out their hands to him. You know, it was very funny.
Yeah, I bet it made a change for you, though, Denise, having come from the Benny Hill show with men putting their hands towards you.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, but it's... From what you're both describing there, it was a time of, you know, complete a dream for both of you. And the whole show in terms of like Top of the Pops and obviously the music industry generally was really buoyant, wasn't it?
It was really different, yeah.
Sorry, let's not forget that it wasn't all, you know, bubbles and glitter. There was a slightly dark side to it from the point of view that we were merely puppets in a wheel. And we were told when we could go to the dentist, when we could go to a doctor, when we would have time off. But once we'd signed up to be part of this group, our life was then not our own. So even though, you know, it was a wonderful time to look back on, and we had opportunities that we, you know, we were very lucky to be involved with, there was also an element of, hang on a minute, we're not allowed actually to think for ourselves anymore.
Yeah, I think a lot of bands think that, don't they?
Well, no, and just also, yes, what Denise was saying with our label, I think for the third single, Secret Heart, we turned up for a photo shoot and somebody put a drinks can in our hand, and then we're wondering what we're doing sat here having this drink, this soda kind of drink in the picture. What's that all about? And then we found out that this drink was launching in the UK, and that they were using us to promote it, and they paid the record company like 50 grand to use us to promote this drink, which I have never drunk, I have to say, I've never liked. And they sponsored our tour, because we did a band tour in 1982 around the UK. They sponsored the tour, and they had the drink in the program and us on the cover of Secret Heart holding these drinks, or on the back of Secret Heart, I think it was. And just the fact that we didn't know anything about it, and we never saw any of that money, because we were managed by the record company and also had our deal with the record company. So they sort of completely controlled everything that we did, and sometimes not for the better.
But also, that picture, awful pictures, I may add, of us in dreadful clothes holding those dreadful cans, were on the back of the programme for the tour. And, the pictures in the programme look great. And then you've got this dodgy photograph at the back where we all look, all of us look awful. That aside, the tour was great fun. You know, being backed by Paul Young just before his big break and the Q-Tips, his band, was unbelievable. We went into rehearsals. We saw the band. Paul started singing. We stood still in our, we couldn't believe how brilliant his voice was, and kind of looked at each other and said, should we leave now? Because he was so amazing. We can't believe he was our backing singer.
Incredible, isn't it? And then looking back on that now, look where Paul Young also went, you know, with his career. I mean, it just went from strength to strength, didn't it? And he's now out there with the Los Pacaminos, and he's still going, doing his 80s music as well on the tours as well, isn't he? So it's
That's right,
And it's lovely to see that there is still that appetite and people still want to come and see acts like yourself who are resurrecting themselves but also doing new music. How does that feel, Steve?
Well, we worked with Paul a while back in one of the shows we did, because we do 80s nights, and usually they put on three or four, maybe five different acts from the 80s who had hits around the same time as us, and we kind of each do a segment of the show. So, and those nights are brilliant. They're great fun. People come along, you know, all dressed up for the night and wanting to party, and shoulder pads and glitter in the hair and rah-rah skirts. And it's quite, and that's just me. And
it's just, it's quite, that's just the men.
Yeah. So it's a really good fun night to do, because people are up for a party, and we're all, you know, music's that thing that one thing that can take you back to a certain time in your life. You know, when you hear music, it reminds you of a time in your life, and that's the nice thing about doing those shows, that people come because they love the music, and also it takes them back to a happy time in their life when things were perhaps a little simpler, you know. And those are great events. Love all that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a time machine, isn't it? Do you feel the same, Denise, that you just hear that first few notes and you think, wow, I'm back there. I'm, you know, in my 20s. I've got it all ahead of me. Does it take you back as well?
It's not that it takes me back. It's just seeing everyone having such a good time. It breathes happiness. And for us, working together again, we kind of treat it, you know, in the days gone by with the record company controlling us, we treat it very differently now. It's kind of an excuse for us to meet up, do a show, have a few drinks afterwards, chat, and get paid for a night out. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Oh, sounds divine, doesn't it? And I get exactly what you're saying there, Denise, that, you know, what you've described there is typical of the industry, or the stories that I hear from everybody, that you've got this fabulous career that you're having, but behind the scenes, the shackles are on because there's expectation, isn't there, that you're going to produce the next number one and you've got to dress like this and blah, blah, blah. You've got freedom now, haven't you?
Absolutely. And are we making the most of it? There's no holding us back now. we've got the bit between our mouths, and we're running like a horse to the front of the race.
Brilliant. I love that analogy. Well, I'll tell you what, that brings us nicely on to your single, doesn't it, Fallout, the new single that you've actually released. So come on then, Steve, tell us about the bit behind this. How has this all come about now for you at this moment in time?
Okay, well, we did an album back in 2016, and it was more of a covers album. And at the time, I spoke to our label, Energize, and they said, yeah, they liked the tracks, but they wanted to do something new, some new songs. Didn't hear from them for a while. And then last year, out of the blue, I had an email saying that they would like to do an album, and here are some tracks for you if you're interested. And we played the tracks, and we were like, oh my God, wow, this is amazing. These songs are so good. We'd absolutely love to get back in the studio and start recording again. So Fallout, the first single that that we're working on now, that's out now, was one of the tracks that they sent us. And it was, in fact, it was the very first song that we recorded back in the summer. It was a very hot day in June last year when things had opened up. And so that was the first one we recorded, sent it off to Matt Pop, and we heard it back, and we were just all amazed at how fantastic a job that they'd done with it. And amazed to get this opportunity to do this again at this stage of our careers and at this time of our lives, but grabbing it, you know, with both hands and just running with it, because it's still as exciting now as it was back then. Having a new record out and hearing it on the radio is amazing. You know, we had it played on BBC this weekend, and we were just like, oh my gosh, this is so cool.
The thing about the record is, because it's been remixed by somebody who's so on trend, he's managed to make an 80s sound with us being involved, seeing like a new group. And what's going to be interesting for people listening, it doesn't matter how old they are, whether they're young and they haven't got a clue who we are, or whether they're slightly more mature, like ourselves, and do know who we are, the sound and the voices that you hear are not relevant to 360-year-olds singing on a record.
Yeah, I get exactly what you mean. I mean, having listened to it, it does have that lovely hallmark of tight fit when you think back to that era. But you're absolutely right, Denise, with that sort of like that fresh element, that it does feel like it's written for the modern day as well.
Yeah.
That's a really great balance to have got.
Yeah. And, you know, most people, you know, even my daughters, who are big critics of most things I do, but my daughter actually asked me just the other day, please send me that second single that you're doing. I want to play it to Dad. And I'm thinking, oh, gosh, because Pete probably would have a few things to say about anything that I do. But I don't know whether he'd be so happy to hear my song at any time in the future. How long? So I didn't send it to her. But she absolutely loves it. And so, you know, they're young ears listening to it. And, you know, they can't be the only young ears that love that kind of music. And as Keith said, we are so happy to be in this position at this stage to be able to record new music, such good new music. We could, you know, they could have so easily just palmed us off with, you know, some drivel and just to fill up an album. But they've really gone over and above to find songs that really work for us. And for that, we thank them very much.
Something's on your mind. I can read the signs. You're crossing over lines. The fault you found is crashing down.
Reaching out to you, but you close your mind. Happens every time. crazy to stay. There's a firestorm coming.
Hi, I'm Steve Grant from Tight Fit, and you're listening to Cattails.
Absolutely. I can see exactly where you're coming from then. It would have been, you know, it would have been an easy get out, wouldn't it, to have just given you something and you'd have carried on the career. But what you really want to do as performers, because both of you are great performers, is actually do a great performance, isn't it? You know, Steve, you've been on stage, haven't you, since the demise of the original Tight Fit, the heady days of Top of the Pops. And you went and had a kind of second career on stage, didn't you?
Yes. So I kind of went back to what I was doing before. I had another couple of record deals after Tight Fit, but then I went back after that finished. I went back to doing musicals again because that's what I kind of tried. I went to stage school probably from about the age of 10. So just a local school, you know. I come from a very working class family, but I wanted to go on the stage. And so I had always trained for that, and I went back to that after the group finished and toured in various musical productions. And then the last show that I did was Miss Saigon in the West End in the original production. So I've done a fair few other things other than the group. But I stopped doing that a few years ago because I had some sight problems, and then the girls called me up to do gigs, and it just kind of blossomed from there back again. And here we are.
Amazing. And then, Denise, from your perspective, after the end of Tight Fit there, you obviously went and had, you know, you've spoken about your daughter there. You had a nice, let's say, a home career, didn't you, to start with? But you went back into TV and actually recording as well, didn't you?
I did. And all I can say is Pete Waterman has not always had great ears, because he produced a record for me, and guess what? It went nowhere. So, you know, everyone thinks that you can actually make the success of anybody. It's not true.
Well, this is it. It's difficult, Denise, isn't it? Because, you know, you're right there. I mean, what a, you know, Stock Aitken and Waterman, it was almost like everything they touched just turned to gold at the time, didn't it? But I suppose you need all those elements to be just right at that moment in time, don't you?
Well, I think the issue was, it was before you actually got with Stock and Aitken, and that was the magic ingredient. Even though I bet he thinks that he is the magic ingredient, but you know, the three of them together definitely, you know, sparkled in the world of music. But Pete signed myself and my brothers, actually. And we did a record, and then he signed me by myself, and nothing happened. So eventually, I was performing in a show in London. I was the compere and the singer of the show for a few years. And then I got married, had children, and then I didn't want to give up my real dream, which was to become a television presenter. So at the age of 30, I thought, right, I'm going to try now. And luckily for me, I ended up with two series of the BBC filming in Ireland. And so nowadays, I kind of dabble at lots of different things. So I'm a presenter, a voiceover. I'll go to the opening of a fridge if the light is bright enough. And I also work as a lifestyle model. So I have pretend husbands that I do commercials with, and then I give them back at the end of the day, which is the best way.
Excellent. That's always a great way to end the day, isn't it, really? And then you go home and have a nice glass of wine, do you? On your own, with your feet up.
No, I do have another half, but he's not a husband. So, therefore, you know, I just have pretend husbands. But it is quite funny, because when I go to the job sometimes, and I get there and I look at the guy that is supposedly my husband, I think, who on earth decided that I would marry somebody like that? I mean, no. You don't know who I am. I mean, I wouldn't go for that kind of man. It is fun. And you know, every week is different. You know, it's like a wiggly line. Something may happen next week, something may not, but I don't know that yet. And that's what keeps me going.
Yeah, and I think that's what keeps us all going in this sort of day and age, doesn't it? We've got the internet and we've got the, you know, you've got your social media, and you can almost be anything you want, can't you? In a way, if you are a creative person like yourself, Denise, and you, Steve, you really do want to fulfil that creativity somehow, don't you? Are you up to other things as well, Steve?
So, like I said, because I had lots of sight issues, I had something called CMV retinitis, and I had lots of eye operations that left me partially sighted. So that's why I stopped doing theatre. And then the girls called me up and said, we're doing gigs. Somebody's dropped out. The person that they were singing with couldn't do a gig, and I stepped in, and then we kind of started work. That was about 11 years ago, and we started working together again at that point. So that's my main thing at the moment is just working with the group and recording. Yeah.
Sorry to hear that you've actually had problems with your sight there, because that's such an important element for obviously everybody, yeah. But as a performer particularly, you rely on that, don't you?
I've got two people though at the moment leading me around on stage.
Two bouncers. You've got two bouncers that tell them what to do. It's like having two wives.
Oh, but it sounds like you get bullied a lot there, Steve.
It's a terrible life. It's very sad.
So do you go through the process of actually, you know, do you have a process there when you are going on stage that you, you know, go through a rehearsal where you know where things are and you have that choreographed situation with the ladies? How does it work for you?
Well, we all hold hands to go on stage, but we will have had a rehearsal, but then we kind of whisper when we get to the microphone, now, Steve, or, you know, if there's danger on the floor in front of him, we'll say lead or whatever. So we just keep our eye out for him so that he doesn't end up in the pit.
Yes, yeah.
That would be a horrible crowd surfing moment, particularly if there wasn't a crowd down the front.
Oh, just a bit. So does it feel different for you performing then, Steve, you know, in those circumstances than it did before? Has it given you a different dimension maybe? Tell us what your experience is.
The thing is, when you're on stage and all the lights are on, you can't see the audience that much anyway.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm not, you know, I've been on the stage a lot throughout my career, and that's kind of an area where I feel comfortable-ish as much as anybody does in the spotlight. You know, it's a weird kind of situation to be in, being on the stage and everyone looking at you. I'm not one of those people who loves to be in the spotlight, but I enjoy working on stage, and I love doing the shows that we do. So not being able to see the audience that well, I can hear them and I can get an idea of what they're doing. You know, I'm not completely blind. I can see a little bit. So it's one of those things. I kind of see it as a bit of a blessing, in fact, because I used to suffer from really bad stage fright, and now I don't have that at all because I can't see that much what's going on. So it's kind of a blessing. I see it as a good. For me, it's fine. I'm used to it. You know, it's absolutely fine.
Excellent. I mean, I love the way that you're saying there that, you know, you had your stage fright before, now you can't see them as well. You don't have that fear. It's a human instinct, isn't it, to think, oh my goodness, I'm in front of all these people. And then, you know, what do they think about me? Are they enjoying it? And all those things. I would be so insecure. It would be no good for me at all.
It can be quite scary, but it's part of the job, and we do enjoy it. And I kind of have that moment when I'm waiting to go on, thinking, oh my God, I just want this to be over. And when I'm out there, actually loving it, actually thinking, wow, I'm so lucky to be here. We are all so lucky to be doing something that we love for a living. You know, how many people get to do that? That is an incredible thing that you know, you have to think, wow, we are just incredibly lucky to be doing this.
Absolutely. And you know, hopefully we're all going to be going a little bit a bit more party-ish as time goes on, aren't we, with this COVID thing. You know, crikey, we just want it behind us, don't we?
Well, that's the thing. Yes. Well, we haven't gigged probably for 2 years now because of the pandemic. We had a couple of gigs booked in for Christmas, before Christmas, and that was cancelled because of Omicron. And we've just started getting bookings in now for later in the year. So I, you know, obviously people's health has to come first, but fingers crossed we will be back out at some point this year doing gigs again, because lots of people that come and see us are messaging us all the time saying we look forward to coming and seeing you again, and you know, those people were people that loved us back in the day and have become kind of friends, online friends now. We chat to them often, you know, and it's nice to have that kind of relationship with people who come and see you and come and see the shows, and then we kind of know them and we meet up with them after the show, and I'd really miss all of that. It's a nice thing that we have that relationship with people who come and see us, and they're not just, you know, not just punters, or they're kind of a lot of them are very much friends, you know, who meet up with us and come to see all of the shows. So yeah, hopefully, fingers crossed, at some point this year we will be back out there and be able to start doing the shows again. So we'll see when that is.
Absolutely. And Denise, would you like to let everybody know where they should go to keep up to date with information about Tight Fit and all the gigs that you will hopefully be doing?
Well, we've been a bit slow in updating our website, so I'm not going to mention that one. But we do have a fans page on Facebook, which is Tight Fit Fans. And we put a lot of stuff on there. So in the first instance, it's best for people to go to the Facebook fans page, or they can follow Steve and us on Instagram or Twitter. On Instagram, I am God, I always forget where I am. I think I'm going to Vincent underscore Tight Fit, and on Facebook I'm just Denise Waterman,
and I'm on Twitter I'm Steve underscore Tight Fit, and Instagram I'm Steve underscore Tight Fit. So yeah, and we use those.
Yeah. But would you mind if we just asked, or anyone, any of the wonderful people that might be listening to this, to please carry on voting for us on the www.theheritagechart.co.uk, because we have gone from 32 right there up to number 6, where we are currently this week, and every vote counts. So if they wouldn't mind, just, it's really easy, it doesn't cost anything, and you can vote every week. We're trying to get to number 1, so if we could possibly ask that as a favour, that would be great.
Absolutely, Denise, and I'll put that link in the notes for everybody to find as well, so that they can go straight there and do the magic, and let's hope to get you to number 1. Wouldn't that be amazing if that happened again now with this new single?
It would.
I sincerely hope it will. it will. Well, do you know, it's been absolutely wonderful. I remember watching you on Top of the Pops, and I can see you now in all those little Tight Fit outfits. So I'm looking forward to seeing you both in the flesh again when you're back out there touring, and I will definitely hook up with you if that's okay with you.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much. And don't forget to vote, Kat.
I'm doing that now. Do not worry. Are you going to get my vote? Oh, thank you so much. Love you both. Thank you very much. Take care, Steve.
Kat.
See you soon, Denise.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Kat Tales with me, Kat, and my guest today, Tight Fit. The tracks featured are The Lion Sleeps Tonight and Fallout. Visit Tight Fit fan page on Facebook for more information. To vote for Tight Fit, visit www.heritagechart.co.uk. To listen to this again and to other tales, visit cattales.co.uk.
You've been listening to